I want to thank the Lord for being able to be here tonight.
Yeah.
Amen. I love the songs tonight. None of us rehearse and no one talks to each other. That's what I love about church and about God's people. We don't conspire. We don't talk. We don't intermingle with each other, make plans to organize a service. It just all falls together. Mm-hmm. And the sermon tonight is going to be in Joshua and about Jericho walls. And we sang a lot of songs. Amen. And that went right along with it. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 20, and it said, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Mm-hmm. And they said loudly, and they said very loudly. Yeah. They did a loud shout.
Yeah, yeah.
And we did this thing. Sometimes we have to go back, and we get caught in a way that we face problems in our life that seem great. We have to go back to when God, how good God really is. We forget how good God really is. As God's people, we forget how good God really is.
Yeah, sometimes.
And all that he has done throughout history, the stories that you tell of your family's history goes down from on and on and on and on, and we can relate. But with time, it doesn't become so unreal to you that we don't necessarily believe everything, all the way from the time of Adam to Noah to his sons, down through to Abraham. And the stories just kept on going through until we got to the point, even to Joseph, down through there. And then even then, we're so simple-minded and we forget so easily that some of these kids, these people, all of them, most of them, when it came time for them to come out of Egypt, they forgot that God showed himself to them. Yeah. We're talking about a generation that really didn't understand at the time, but their forefathers, their fathers, their parents seen things.
Yeah.
They seen what God was capable of. They seen that this man Moses was trying to set them free, that God was using this man. They seen the plagues that were brought upon the land of Egypt because of Pharaoh's hard heart. They seen the Red Sea be parted. That's a great sight within itself to see. Seeing the miracle, that's a miracle in itself.
Yeah.
For people to walk across them, dry land. It'd be like me going down here to our reservoir, and all of a sudden you just part, and I'm able to walk through on dry land to the other side. That's a pure miracle in itself.
Yeah.
That God parted the sea that far that a whole, at least a good million people could walk across.
Yeah.
And it built altars. And they've seen how God supplied them shade by day and fire by night so they keep them warm so they wouldn't freeze to death. They've seen God's power at moving. They've seen how God talked to them. They've heard his voice at various times. But then it comes to a certain part that when it came time to go into the promised land, they got too busy looking at what they were seeing. They forgot what they've seen. Now they're just too busy looking at what they are seeing now. I've seen this person do this. Now I'm looking at the now. I forgot about what was, and I'm looking at the now. And these people became, the children of Israel became these people who were looking at the now. There was 12 spies that went out throughout the land, and only two came back with a good report saying, it's full of milk and honey, we can take the land. And the other 10 were looking at the other half of it. There's giants in the land, there's great walls in the land. It's impossible, they're uncrossable, they can't even get through them. We surely will die if we go through there. Because they were thinking about with their worldly mind. They were thinking about through their eyes what they could see. But they have already, for some strange reason, forgot that God, that parted the Red Sea, that took care of Pharaoh to set them free out of Egypt. That same God, those stories of Abraham, and how they continued the stories down, told how God was with Joseph, how God was with his father and his mother, and the stories go down through. They knew all that, but that's what that was. We become a people who become to what was. That was for them. This is now. But I'm going to tell you something about our God. Our God is the same today and forever. Amen. If he can do it back then, he can do it now.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it to you this way. I understand one thing. When it comes to cooking, I love food. And I know who can cook what really well. My Aunt Judy can do a really good peanut butter pie. There's other ones, no offense, there's other ones sitting in here. They make it, they may make it too sweet, and I can't eat it. But I know that. But she makes a really good peanut butter pie. Now, if she told me that she couldn't do it, I would not believe her. Because I've seen what she could done.
Yeah.
Right.
She would say, it's impossible, and I'd say, I saw you do it. Or it'd be like another aunt of mine that makes a really good strawberry rhubarb pie. It's a lot of work, but I know that she can do it. You know what I mean? So I know what I know, and we have to get to a people that we know what our God is capable of.
That's right.
Yeah. That we know what we know. That God, if he did it one time, he can do it again.
Amen.
Why not? Why is he only limited to doing it once? Now I have to do it a different way. He could do the exact same thing over and over and over again.
Amen. Amen.
But these people became so complacent that they wandered through the wilderness. And God had to build up a people of people that really knew him for what he was, that would remember what they saw. They knew what God was capable of. They truly believed. They weren't looking at what was. They weren't looking at what is now. They were looking at what was. Now, these people that grew up in the wilderness, they've seen themselves being fed. They've heard God's voice. They've seen how when you disobeyed God, how he swallowed up a multitude of people. He's seen God's wrath. They've seen God's wrath. They've seen God's mercy. They've seen how God supplied for them in the wilderness when they really needed water. They've seen all these things. So whenever their fathers were all dead and gone, it came a point in time for those people to come in. And I believe they were mostly in their 20s. The only ones that made it through were Joshua and Caleb, and they were in their 80s. That's what the Bible says. They were pushing their 80s, and the rest of them were in their 20s of age. So that means all the ones that were in Joshua and Caleb's age bracket was all gone. Finally, they all died off. Because they were the only two that were going into the promised land. Now it came time for them to go in. And they've had many great battles and many great things. But God moves and works in mysterious ways sometimes. And it came to a time to where they came up and they faced this great wall. And spiritually, sometimes we face a great wall in our life that we think is incrossable because we're too busy looking at what is right now. We see the problem and we say it's impossible. And you're right. In our own strength, it is impossible. But with God's strength, it is all things are possible.
Yeah.
And we have to remember that. That we have to put God in the equation. Mathematicians, they like to do equations. But the only way in our equation that the impossible things are going to work, you have to put God in it.
Amen.
We like to take God out of it. And we look through those eyes of not putting God in the equation. And we have to stop taking God out of the equation. And this was a great wall. They say that up to 6 chariots could go across it. You really want to study it? It was a great high wall. Six chariots, you have to imagine about six cars going across. Six-lane highway almost. That's pretty thick. Mm-hmm. So I don't blame the people who went into the spy of the land and they seen a great city like that. That would be intimidating. But sometimes in life, we face things that are unknown that seem like that giant wall. They seem impossible. They seem greater than I. They seem greater than what we could. But we have to put God in the equation, because if God is going to bring that wall down, God is the only thing that can bring that wall down in our life. Yeah. When we try to do it, yeah, we will blunder on our own. We will fall. We don't even try anymore half the time. Their fathers didn't even try because they said it couldn't be done. They did not believe. Now these people here that came rose up, this generation rose up, they believed, but they had leadership that believed also. Not faintering for over 40 years, them not faintering away. Caleb and Joshua did not fainter away on their belief that we could go up and take the country. They did not falter from that. And you say, well, how do you know that, Brother Eric? Well, the reason why I know that is because at the age of 80, 85 years old, Joshua climbed a mountain, one of them, climbed a mountain. Moral of the story, climbed a mountain at his age to take a city that sat on a mountain. Now that seemed impossible, but he went anyway at his age. An 85-year-old man can do it, so can we. And spiritually, we face spiritual problems the same way, but you see how God put himself in the equation when you read down through there, because it said the priest and the Ark of the Covenant was part of this. The presence of God was there in the midst, because it said they marched around and the Ark of the Covenant was around in this equation. Because you have to understand something about the Ark of the Covenant. You touched it, you died. The Spirit of God was there. The priest went up through and they carried this Ark, and they had seven trumpets down through there. So they had that. So God's presence was with them. They didn't have to take a pick to the wall. They didn't have to build something to ram the walls. They didn't have to do anything. All they had to do was march. And march. And march. And march. Sometimes some things require something of us if we want to break through. God requires something of us sometimes. He's just not going to hand it to you. We like to think he does, but he required something of them. Sure. They didn't have to die. They didn't have to work by the sweat of their brow like we would think that they would. If I would take a sledgehammer to this wall, it'd take me hours to get through there. It'd take me days to break down that wall to where a multitude of people could go down through. It would take me long. I'd have a lot of sweat, a lot of blood and sweat into it. All they had to do was march. They sweated, but they marched.
Yeah.
And marched and marched and marched. Mm-hmm. And then finally it came, or another requirement that came of them was that they were to be, that they were to blow these loud trumpets, and they were to shout greatly. And they were to shout greatly how great their God was. And you know what it said too? Whenever they went in, they slew everything.
Yeah.
They slew every living thing. It kind of makes me sad because I like animals. But it said they slew everything. No matter what it was, God commanded them to slay everything in that city. What's it spiritually? Put it into a spiritual aspect. When we break through that great wall, that problem that festers there, when we finally get through and God lets us in there, he wants us to take out everything. Oh, look at this little cute little figure. I really like this. I want to keep it. No, gone. It was part of the problem. It was part of that festering that's going on. It needs to go. This needs to go. That needs to go. Anything that's inside of that wall needed to go. And God had it eliminated. To teach us a lesson that whenever we have problems in our life, we have to completely eliminate it once we break through that wall. We don't hold on to things. Nothing was held on to. The only thing he says in the Bible that was held on to was the precious metals and silvers and irons and stuff, and that was put in the treasury of the temple. It was to be given back to the Lord. No man owned anything from that city. But every living thing was annihilated, taken out. And then the city was burned.
Yeah.
They said after that, even though they annihilated everything, then they burned everything. Now there wasn't even a living tree. Not even a weed. A flake of grass. Flower. Any remnants, any paperwork, any chart that these people were even there. It was burnt down completely. Annihilated. The ashes it was put. And sometimes those problems in our life, we have to put God in the equation. We have to put Him in our equation and face that wall that we say is impossible. And I said, now I know with God all things are possible. We're going to go take this part of my life. We're going to get rid of this issue that's going on in the name of Jesus. We're going to march around this wall. We're going to take down this wall. But it requires something to work out of us too.
Yeah.
We're going to take that wall down. We're going to recall. And it falls down. And we go in, we wipe out everything clean. We don't favor any little thing that we might have, that we might really like doing, or we might like this or this. God will let you know, hey, that wall, that's part of the problem. That's part of the problem. That's part of the problem since I just wall. It needs to be annihilated. It needs to be gone. Because we don't want this wall coming back up. Right. Now you got to remember, if they would have left a little piece of anything there, the wall could be rebuilt. That's what the enemy of our soul does. If we leave any remnants of anything there, the wall will be built back up. The enemy will rebuild that wall. So whenever it comes down, with the Lord's help, we annihilate everything that's in it. We utterly must destroy everything. We burn it. We make sure that it's to ashes where it has no chance of rising back up anymore in our life. So we can live victorious. They moved on from that battle and went on to fight other battles, but they didn't have to be looking behind them, worried about the people of Jericho and the remnants of Jericho. And as us Christians, we don't have to keep on looking behind us of our past problems that we had and worrying that they might creep back up.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're still in the back room. We were like that Achan who kept something we weren't supposed to. We're not going to be that Achan who kept part of the armor and stuff and caused problems. It caused problems because he kept something of the enemies. When we take over spiritually, we're talking spiritually now. When we take over spiritually, a wall comes down. Something happens when we take over. We don't pick up some of the enemy's stuff and carry it with us. We leave it behind us. We let it be burnt down. We send it back. We don't have to look back in the back of our mind knowing, oh, that devil could get back at us because I know I have this little sliver. I have this little thing in my life that I wasn't willing to give up. I wasn't willing to let it go, or I kept it because I couldn't kill it. I just couldn't kill this thing. I liked it so much and I loved this thing. Do you love that thing more than you love God? Mm. God intended for good that you had to get rid of this thing in your life. Because He wanted you to prosper as a Christian. He wanted you to flourish as a Christian and walk with Him and have a pure walk and a genuine walk with Him. Mm. So these people, they took down Jericho's wall. But the thing is we have to have faith in our God that all things are possible and anything is possible. And we never give up and we hold on to that faith. Throughout the Bible, many, many times, there are many things in the Bible that refers to faith. The faith of Joseph, it got his bones where it needed to be. The woman with the issue of blood, because of her faith, it made her whole. A woman who had a dying child, because of her faith, Jesus, even though she wasn't even a Jew, he was made whole, you know, because of the faith that God, when God promises something, He's going to do it. Amen. God wants us all to make it to heaven. He wants us to all live a victorious life. But we have to take down those strongholds and totally destroy. And it said in verse 21, and they utterly destroyed all that was within the city. All that was in the city. Utterly. Means everything. Abolished. Crushed. Destroyed. Every living thing. Everything. The city was obliterated. Completely. And that's what we have to do when we face that giant. Finally we have that breakthrough. We so many times. We go to camp. We have a revival. We're at church. No matter where it is, we have a mighty breakthrough. And we're rejoicing and we're like, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I'm so glad God set me free and this and this and this and this and this. And a few weeks later, we're all back to, well, that was fun while it lasted. Not feeling that joy anymore. I don't understand why this came back. Sometimes it came back because you weren't willing to completely let go and surrender to God everything that needed to be surrendered and give to God. And these scriptures, you can search them all, but it doesn't tell us anywhere in the Bible here. And when they took Jericho's walls, where the people kept stuff for themselves. It destroyed every living thing. They burnt the city on their way out. All the precious metals and silvers and anything of value was given to the temple. To the treasury of the temple is what it tells us. It was given to the Lord. It was the Lord's. He kept the enemy's thing. And that's what it is. Whenever we see all those things of treasure and value that we think in our life, we give them to the Lord and let Him put them in His treasury. Because utterly most, that will destroy us. And God knows that. They're locked up in His treasury. So it will not destroy us. Look what happened to Achan and his family because he went through and kept a garment of precious metals and stuff. It utterly most destroyed his family. Destroyed his whole entire family because he wasn't willing to surrender to the Lord. He wanted a little bit for himself. And sometimes we want a little bit for ourselves, but we utterly do not want to surrender everything. But we utterly have to surrender everything to the Lord. And when those great walls come down inside of our life, when we get older, the bigger the problems seem to be. But we seem to get set in our ways. But we have to remember that we have to let go and let God take control. And the hard part is when we lose control and we let God take control, we feel like we're out of control and we'd like to stay in control. But in reality, when we're fighting that battle and we're taking that situation saying, hey Lord, I'm leaving that there to you. I'm leaving this situation with you. I don't understand it. It's beating me up. It's hurting my family. It's destroying me. It's like a cancer that's just secretly destroying things. And I have to let you take care of this problem. I don't care what it takes to get rid of it. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know why we do this? Is because we're so afraid of what God's going to require of us. Or what the cost is going to be. But if it's the cost of your kid's salvation, and you happen to go through a little pain, is it worth it? If the cost is the salvation of all in your house, and you have to go and struggle and go through a little problem or a little situation and still make heaven your home, is it worth it? We do the voice of the martyrs, and we see some of the things they have to go through. They're completely stronger than things that we have to face sometimes.
Yeah.
Make it to the point in this great country that we may end up having to face some of those similar things. Pray to God that we don't, and I thank God that we don't have to. But we do face problems. And the devil attacks us, in a different way. Mentally, he attacks us. He tries to attack our souls so we don't make heaven our home. But we all know, and you have to reflect and look at that thing. You have to look and search your life. What is that great wall that's in your life? Specifically, you. You don't sit there. I can't sit here and I can't point at Brother Kyle and point at what his great wall is. What is my great wall in my life that's hindering me with my walk with Christ? We all have them. No matter how many years you walk on this earth, we still have great problems because the enemy attacks us. He builds up different scenarios in our life. Some of us, it might be like a great city set on a hill, rolling stones down on us and how it feels. Some of us, it might be that great wall of Jericho. Some of us, it might be that sea that seems impossible with Pharaoh behind us. Different case scenarios may feel differently to different people. But there's one common denominator in that bunch. God.
Yeah.
With God, all things are possible. But when it comes time, and that thing that's in your life, you have to obliterate it, utterly must destroy it out of your life. So it doesn't rear its horrible head again and attack you. You can move on to the next part of your life. There's another thing maybe that's eaten away that you don't need and taking the country. Taking your spiritual life. You know, an enemy that likes to attack in different areas. You know, and living closer to God. God, devil does not like you living real close to God. So he's going to constantly fire little darts at you and rear his head here and there. But sometimes we face really big problems and we're embarrassed about the problems that we face because we're human beings. We have feelings. And some problems we may be embarrassed about. We don't want to tell nobody about. Or whatever it may be. But we don't even want to talk to God about it. It's a really bad place when you don't want to even talk to God about your problem. It's a very dangerous place. You need to tell him about your problems. You need to make sure. And then when it comes time that problem seems so great. And I know some of us are older than others here. And I know some of us, the longer we live, we've known, we've faced several walls in our life, have we not? I know that Sister Oaks and Sister Judy probably faced more walls in their life than I have. But I've probably faced more walls than Sister Riley has. But as we go, we mature and we jump over those walls. Some seem greater than others. I faced a great wall in my life, almost 20-some years ago, maybe. Close to it, roundabout 18, something like that. And it seemed uncrossable. And it was uncrossable. But that was only because I took God out of the equation. And the wall grew bigger and bigger. And it seemed impossible to get around it. It seemed impossible to get over it. To get through it until I finally let go and let God take the situation or the problem that was going on in my life. Because we all face problems. Sometimes they become walls and we just don't know how to handle those problems. That's what walls are sometimes. They're just normal problems that are in our life, but some seem greater than others. And we have to use wisdom and put God into the equation. How are we going to handle it? Just like we have some brothers and sisters in this church now that are facing a wall. Their vehicles don't work. They have a harder time getting to church, getting to work. I try to be a good brother, more than one way, and help them out. And it was just down there the other day, and the stupid dog chewed their lawnmower, so now they don't even have a lawnmower that works. And he loves to mow his yard. And he likes mowing the churchyard. And his lawnmower don't work. We tried for hours to fix it. I couldn't get it. I don't know if it's either shot or gone. But the problem was, the point is, it's a great wall for them right now. We see that they're going through a great wall. We need to lift our brothers and sisters in Christ in prayer about those problems. Just saying, man, that's a bummer. You know, we all face problems. We all face walls. But once we get through those walls, we need to obliterate. There's different kinds of walls. And there are some that you have to get rid of things. There are some things that are in our life that will utterly most destroy us. They might not be sinful things, but they can become things that are like a god to you. I was asked one point in time from God to fast from hunting and fishing for a year. Now, if I wouldn't have, where would I have been today? Would I have been hunting and fishing instead of being in church? Would I have loved that more than I love God? You see what I'm saying? It wasn't necessarily a sinful thing, but it's something that could take place of God in itself. And I sacrificed that. And throughout that year was probably one of my worst years of my life. And a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, that was the greatest, that's when I faced my greatest wall in my life. I held true to what God wanted me to do, but I wasn't talking to Him because situations weren't going the way I wanted them to go. But that was the exact same year. It's wonderful how when God wants to deal with one section in your life, how the devil will rear his head up in another area. Because God wants to take care of this problem in your life and deal with you with this. Now all of a sudden, this great problem over here arises.
Right.
And sometimes I think it's a test to see if you'll just say, hey, I could have just said, God, if you're going to be like this to me, forget this. I'm going hunting anyway. I'm going fishing anyway. I did, and I mean, remained true to my promise that I was going to fulfill. Was it easy? No. I loved hunting. I loved fishing. But I still had this problem over here looming for 6 months. And some of it was my own fault, too. But the problem was, is you eliminate those walls. There's certain things. So there's sometimes, I love watching movies. But then there's certain movies that I watch, don't think nothing of it. And then down the road, God will say, maybe you need to get rid of that movie. That one's not so good. Destroy it. Because God knows where it's going to lead me. I don't think self-consciously about it at the time, but God knows me. And He says, hey, get rid of that. Get rid of that device or this thing right here. Or you don't need this or you don't need that. But the walls came down was the point. And a point that we need to make is when the walls come down, we get rid of everything that's inside that wall that's causing that problem. Do we have a sliver? How many people's ever gotten a sliver in their finger or their hand? That sliver, sometimes they're small. And the smaller they are, the worse they are, I think, sometimes, because you can't see them or tell where they're at. But you know that it's there. And sometimes you have a big one, and you know it's there, but it's just in an awkward position, but you just can't get it out. And sometimes they fester for days and days before you finally have enough, and you're like, I am so done with this sliver in my life, or in my finger, I want it out of there. I'll chop my finger off if I have to. That's about what point you get to, because it hurts to move it. It hurts to... So you get a knife out, you get whatever tool you could possibly get out, and you're there, and you work at it, and it hurts, but you know once you get that sliver out, it's going to feel better. And sure enough, once the sliver comes out, within a few hours or an hour, all that crying and poking that you did and all that pain that you felt, you're just so glad it's all over with, and you're like, man, that finger feels so much better. And it's the same way with us with God sometimes. Sometimes He has to pry and poke that sliver until it comes out. And then once it's out, we're glad that He did. But at the time, we're not too happy about it because it hurt. But we want it out, and it's the same case scenario. There's things in our life that are not right. Our spiritual life, just like that sliver. The body automatically knows that sliver is not supposed to do it, so it festers. It makes it turn all funny colors and stuff happens because it's rejecting it. It's trying to get it out naturally. Spiritually, we have that same thing. That's what God does too. It's spiritually, in our spiritual walk, he sees that sliver that needs to be taken out. And then, you know, once we get that sliver out, we throw it on the ground, we stomp on it if it hurt bad enough, or we destroy it. We don't let it sit somewhere where it can come back in, do we? We don't set it back down to where it can get back into our body again. We throw it in the trash. We make sure it goes to the trash man, and he takes it to the dump. And so that specific piece of wood or piece of metal or whatever was in your finger no longer is going to come back to hurt you again. And it's the same way spiritually is the point that they were making here. That with Jericho walls, they did not want that to come back on them again.
Yeah.
So they utterly most destroyed the city, burned the city, made sure that it was taken to the dump. And it was never going to be able to be rebuilt ever again. To hurt them, to harm them, to cause them. And still this day they never have any problems with that city.
Right.
They've had problems with other cities that they've made deals with unknowingly because they've been tricked. There's proof in the pudding that God wanted those people gone because they knew it was going to be a problem for them. But the point being made is when something's in your life festering and it seems great, put God in there so it can be gone, be out of there. And let our faith arise. Let our faith arise in God as well. We have to put that part in there too. It's not just necessarily going in and getting rid of the city. Let our faith arise in God. That what God has done. We have a whole Bible full of things of what God has done. We even have a part in the back that tells us what God is going to do. In the end, we have the beginning and the end given to us as Christians. We know what's happened in the past, and we know what's going to be in the future. We don't know when the future this is going to be, but we know when it's going to be. Because God is good. God took the time to tell Noah about the ark, about the flood, and build an ark. God took the time to pull out Abraham. God took the time to call Moses. God took the time to raise up Joseph. God took the time to send Jesus to die on the cross ultimately. We are more than overly grateful nowadays. As Gentiles, we are utterly most grateful, or we should be, that God sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross. Because we were all doomed to hell. That was the path that we were heading until that came about. So God loves people, and he cares about your problems. He cares about those great walls that you are facing in your life. He wants to be there beside you, taking those walls down, destroying what's inside of those walls that are there that need to be destroyed, and restoring you as a fellow Christian. As a fellow Christian, Brother Kyle, as a fellow Christian, he wants you, your brothers in Christ, he wants you to live a victorious life. But remember one thing, what God has done, he still can do it again.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Overcomers, amen. As Christians, we are overcomers, amen, and we can be overcomers, amen. But like Eric said, sometimes we've got to make a step, sacrifice, do what's willing to cut the head of Goliath off. Amen. Like Eric said, put it to death, get it done with so it doesn't come back up. He made reference to it. But the children of Israel were told to completely annihilate a few nations. Them nations are a thorn in their side today because they did not. They made deals with them. They did not quite do what the Lord wanted them to do. Amen. Sometimes you can say, oh, why, Lord? Why? And then all of a sudden, Eric did such a great job teaching it. All of a sudden, bam, it's there. And a lot of times, God will give us another opportunity. But we better take it. Because if we resist again, then all of a sudden, you know, that little thing can turn into a monstrous thing and can destroy our lives. Amen. We've got to kill it. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. You got some? Amen. God can do it again and again and again. He's the same God today as He always has been. We're believing God for a miracle. We're believing God to move and work in different situations. Amen. And we're to put our faith in God. Amen. Camp meeting is getting ready to come. Amen. But even before camp meeting, we're putting our faith in God. Amen. Let's sing it. God can do it again and again and again. Amen.